Welcome to the shadows. Old stories line the shelves of our dusty archives. Stories of dreams, mystery, horror. We would like to bring one of our early radio tales back to life during this half hour. Let's see. Yes, we were hearing the pages of a diary. The Diary of a Madman by Nikolai Gogol.
There, at the carriage. Just stopped in front of the store. Don't you recognize it?
It's the diary.
Yes.
But what can he possibly mean here?
Must be his daughter.
His daughter. Oh, quick, against the wall. Is her. Oh, look at her fluttering out of the carriage. Like a bird, like a bird. Oh, God, I'm lost. Lost.
Quick, hide. She recognizes your coat.
What about my coat?
Oh, it's stained and out of style. Quick, in this doorway. Oh, never mind. She's gone into the store.
How did you come out in this pouring rain?
Try to deny after this that women have a passion for buying clothes.
She left her laptop in the street.
She's called Maggie.
Maggie. Then another dog joined her.
Hello, Maggie.
Hello, Fidel.
Well, I'll be damned. Talking.
Shame on you, Maggie. You haven't written me.
Oh, I've been sick, Fidel.
What the devil is going on? Dogs can talk.
No, sorry, I didn't hear that, Maggie. Well, got the line still. I've got to go.
Dogs can talk. They can't.
Oh, it's not so unusual. The world has seen similar occurrences. In England, a fish broke surface and uttered a couple of words.
Well, I've never heard of a dog that could write.
Oh, of course, not only gentlemen can write. Correctly, anyway.
He longed to improve his lowly social position by marrying the director's daughter. But how could he know how she felt about him unless he read the letters that her poodle, Maggie, wrote to her friend, Fidel?
Yes?
Excuse me. Do you have a dog by the name of Fidel?
Yes, why?
I want to have a talk with her.
What?
I said I want to have a talk with your dog.
What?
The girl was stupid. I could see from the start how stupid she was. Oh, there's the mutt. There's the mutt. Now then.
Get out! Get out! Leave her alone!
Oh, you repulsive little creature! Bite me, will you? Now there's your basket. There's your basket. Just have it, people. And underneath. Underneath in the straw. What do I find? What do I find? The letters. The letters.
Get out before I call the police. Get out!
But the letters leave little hope. There's a rival army officer. Then a better opportunity arises for advancement. Strange things have been happening in Spain.
I don't understand it at all.
They write that the throne has been vacated.
Vacated?
Yes, and that the ranking grandees are having difficulty in selecting an heir.
Ah, an heir.
It seems there's discontent.
Sounds very strange to me. How can a throne be empty?
They say that some Doña may accede.
Doña? It's absolutely impossible.
Of course it's impossible. A Doña can't accede to a throne. A king should sit on a throne.
Of course, a king should sit on a throne.
They say there is no king.
Well, that's impossible. It's impossible that there should be no king. There must be a king.
Well, he might be hidden away somewhere. In anonymity.
Ah, yes.
It's even possible that he's around here, you know, being forced to remain in hiding because of family reasons. For fear of some neighboring country.
France. Of course, France. Forced to remain in hiding.
Well, there may be other reasons.
Year 2000, April 43. This is a day of great jubilation. Spain has a king.
They found him?
I am the king.
Oh, no.
I discovered it today. It all came to me in a flash.
Well, it's incredible ever to have imagined being a civil service clerk.
How could such a crazy idea ever have entered my head?
Human, thank God no one thought of slapping you into a lunatic asylum.
Well, now I see everything clearly. But what was happening before? Things loomed at me out of a fog. But now...
Oh, wouldn't you say that all troubles stem from the misconception that human brains are located in the head?
Yes.
Well, they're not. Human brains are blown in by the winds from somewhere around the Caspian Sea.
We continue now with the final entries of The Diary of a Madman by Nikolai Gogol.
No date. A day without date. Went along Nevsky Avenue incognito.
There's the Tsar riding past. Everyone's removing his hat.
Well, I will too. I don't want to give the least sign that I'm the king of Spain.
No, it would be undignified to reveal one's identity here in front of all these people. It would be more proper to be presented in court first.
Yes. What's prevented me so far is the fact that I haven't yet got royal Spanish attire.
You know, you should get hold of a royal mantle of some sort.
Well, I thought of having one made.
Because they're so stupid. They're not really interested in their trade nowadays.
Actually, they go in for speculation.
Most of them end up by mending roads.
I know what I'll do. I'll make a mantle out of my best coat.
You better do it yourself.
Of course I'll do it myself. I'll lock my door so that no one sees me. Now I'll have to cut this coat into ribbons with the scissors. A mantle, after all, has a completely different style. A completely different style. Can't remember the day, nor the month. Damned if I know what's going on. Well, the mantle is ready.
You're still not ready to be presented at court.
No, why not?
Your retinue hasn't yet arrived from Spain.
That's right, my retinue. The absence of a retinue would be incompatible with my dignity.
Yes.
I'll wait. We should be here at any time. A first date. I'm puzzled by the unaccountable delay in the arrival of my retinue. What can be holding them up? I went to the post office to inquire whether the Spanish delegate had arrived. Oh, but the postmistress is an utter fool.
No. There's no Spanish delegates around here, but if you'd like to mail a letter, we'd be delighted to accept.
A letter? What the devil is she talking about? What letter? What letter? Letter by foot! The druggist write letters. February is the 13th, so I'm in Spain. It all happened so quickly that I hardly had time to realize it. This morning, the Spanish delegation arrived for me, and we all got into a carriage. It is bewildering how fast we went. We went so fast that within half an hour, we reached the Spanish border. When I entered the first room, I saw a multitude of people with shaven heads. A Dominican or Capuchin monks, no doubt. They always shave their heads.
Come on,
the manners of the king's chancellor leading me by the hand was certainly very strange.
Now, you sit quiet in there and don't call yourself King Ferdinand again, or I'll beat the nonsense out of your head.
Oh, come now, chancellor, we're alone now. I know that I'm being tested, and I refuse to submit to this indignity any longer.
All right, then I won't. You!
That hurt terribly, but I didn't let out a cry. I contained myself, remembering that this is customary procedure among knights on initiation into an exalted order. To this day, they adhere to the chivalric code in Spain.
Stupid idiot!
Left to myself, I decided to devote some time to affairs of state.
Tomorrow, as foreseen by the famous English king, Mr. Wellington, the earth will mount to the moon.
Yes, I confess I'm deeply worried about that.
Particularly when you consider the moon's extraordinary sensitivity and fragility.
Yes.
The moon, of course, is made in Hamburg. I must say they do a very poor job.
I wonder if England doesn't do something about it.
It's a lame cooper that makes the moon, and it's quite obvious that he has no conception of what the moon should be. He uses tarred rope and olive oil. That's why the stench is so awful all over the earth.
We are continually forced to plug our noses.
And that's why the moon itself is such a delicate ball that men cannot live there.
Only noses.
Certainly.
That's why we can't see our own noses.
Of course they're all on the moon.
And when you think... What a heavy thing the earth is.
That's right. When the earth mounts the moon, all our noses will be crushed to a powder.
What are we to do?
Hurry, we better warn the Capuchin monks.
Yes, of course. We must warn them immediately. Immediately. Hurry. Hurry. Gentlemen. 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 We must save the moon. The earth is preparing to mount it. The Capuchin monks were admirable. They rushed at once to execute my royal wish. Many of them tried to climb the wall to reach the moon in time. But at that moment, the Grand Chancellor entered. Everyone scattered. I, being the king, remained alone. January of the same year, which happened after Februarius. I still can't make out what sort of a place Spain is.
The customs and the etiquette of the court are quite incredible.
I don't grasp it.
It's incomprehensible.
They shaved my head. Even though I shouted with all my might that I did not want to become a monk. They began to drip cold water on my head. I've never been through such torture.
Who can understand the point of such peculiar customs?
Stupid, it's senseless.
And the irresponsibility of the kings who never got around to outlawing this custom. It's quite incomprehensible.
I can't grasp it.
There are indications that would make one wonder whether one hasn't fallen into the hands of the Inquisition.
Inquisition?
That Chancellor, for instance.
The Grand Inquisitor himself?
Yes, but then how could the King be subjected to the Inquisition?
True.
Unless this is the work of some other country?
France.
Yes, that fellow Polignac.
That Polignac is an absolute beast. He swore to drive me to my death.
Oh, there's no end to his maneuvers.
And he is himself being led by the English.
Of course, the English are great politicians.
They spread the seeds of dissension everywhere. Everywhere.
As the whole world knows, when England takes snuff.
France sneezes.
Oh, sneezes.
The Grand Inquisitor entered my room. I heard him approaching, and I hid.
Where are you, you idiot?
I remained silent. He couldn't see me.
Ferdinand
VIII.
Come on, out of
there. Oh, it's a trick. It's a trick. Oh, no.
Come on.
They won't get me that way. They'll pour water on my head again.
Where are you? There you are. Oh, Spain, I'm under a chair. Come out there. Come on. No, I'll teach you.
He beat me terribly.
It's all right. He's gone. Come now. Think of your latest discovery. That'll make you feel better.
Which discovery?
The one about roosters.
Ah, yes. Every rooster has his own Spain.
That's right. Of course he has.
But he hides it.
Of course he does.
He hides it under his feathers.
Of course his feathers.
Day 34, month, year, Aurabeth. 3, 4, 9. No, I have no strength left. I can't stand any more. Oh, God, what they're doing to me. They pour cold water on my head. They don't listen to me. They don't hear me. They don't see me. What have I done to them? Why do they torture me so? What do they want from me? What can I give them? I haven't anything to give. I have no strength. I cannot bear this suffering. My head is on fire, and everything goes round me in circles. Save me. Save me. Take me away from here. Give me a carriage. Give me a carriage with horses swift as wind. Yes, drive on, coachman. Let the harness bells ring. Soar up, my horses. Carry me away from this world. Father, where I will see nothing. Ah, there's the sky smoking before me. A star twinkles far away. The forest rushes past me with its dark trees and the crescent moon. The violet bark is a carpet underneath me. Oh, I hear something through the fog. On the one side, the sea. On the other, Italy. Russian huts. Maybe that's my house over there, looking blue in the distance. Oh, and isn't that my mother sitting by the window? Yes, Mother, save your wretched son. Let your tears fall on his sick head. See how they torture him. Hold me in your arms. There's no room for him in this world. They are chasing him, Mother, take pity.
pity on your sick child.
And by the way, have you heard that the Day of Algiers has a wart?
A wart?
Right under his nose.
Right under his nose.
And so ended The Diary of a Madman by Nikolai Gogol. Adapted and produced a long time ago by Eric Bauerfeld, who was heard as the madman, with Bernard Mays as the alter ego, and Pat Franklin as the women and the dogs. Music was arranged by Charles Shear, with technical production by John Whiting. Well, we have a little time left on this half hour. Over here is a shelf marked The End of the World. I think we'll have time enough for that. A vignette about an old man whose job it is to row certain people across a very particular river. His name is Charon. And his final crossing is related to us by Lord Dunsany.
Lean forward and row. Row. All things are one in my weariness. Weariness not of years, not of centuries, but of wide floods of time, eons, eons. Oh, the heaviness. Pain in my arms. A part of the scheme made by the gods. And all of a piece with eternity.
Charon leaned forward and rowed. If the gods had sent him a contrary wind, it would have divided all time in his memory into two equal slabs. So gray were all things always where he was, that if any radiance lingered a moment among the dead, on the face of such a queen perhaps as Cleopatra, his eyes could not have perceived it.
All things one with my weariness.
It was strange that the dead nowadays were coming in such numbers. They were coming in thousands where they used to come in 50s. It was neither Charon's duty nor his wont to ponder in his gray soul why these things may be. Charon leaned forward and rowed. Then no one came for a while. It wasn't usual for the gods to send no one down from Earth for such a space. But the gods knew best. One man finally came, alone. The ghost sat shivering on a lonely bench, and the great boat pushed off.
one passenger. Only one. Well, the gods know best. The gods know best.
And the great and weary Charon rode on and on beside his passenger. The sound of the river was like a mighty sigh, that grief in the beginning had sighed among her sisters, and that couldn't die like the echoes of human sorrow failing on earthly hills, but was as old as time and the pain in Charon's arms. Then the boat from the slow gray river loomed up to the coast of Dis, and the silent ghost, still shivering, stepped ashore, and Charon turned the boat to go wearily back to the world.
Wait. I can't wait. I must go back to the world.
Wait! I am the last! I am the last one!
The last. The last. The last. Well, the gods know best. The gods know best.
No one had ever made Charon smile before. No one before had ever made him weep.
The gods know best. The last. The last.
Bernard Mays narrated, Eric Bowersfeld did the rowing, with a technical production by John Whiting. Special production for this series was by Jim McKee.
Well, that's all for now. Come and visit our archives again for another tale from the shadows. Real soon.